issue avoidance. I think that we have a national pastime in this country that it's, if it's difficult, if it's painful, if it's demanding, we try to avoid it.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening and welcome back to Straight Talk Radio, a ministry of Pastor Mark Job of New Life Community Church. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you're having a great evening. My name is Joshua Hollick, and tonight we're continuing with Pastor Mark through a series entitled Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Calling. I'm here live in the studio with Pastor Mark. Good evening, Pastor Mark.
Joshua, I'm having a lot of fun with this series, Unstuck.
I can tell.
We're getting such great feedback and so many people really starting to tackle the issue of being stuck.
And we have a powerful one tonight, don't we?
Oh, this is one of the most powerful out of the entire series, Neglected Issues.
Neglected Issues, the question being, do you need to walk towards your unfinished business? What was it about Elijah that kept him stuck in this regard?
You know, it's interesting. When God got Elijah out of the cave, the very first thing he tells him is go back the way you came. And I love that because most of us want another way out. We don't want to go back to our unfinished business. We want to leave that behind and go to another season. But you can't go forward oftentimes unless you go back and deal with your unfinished business.
I know this is going to speak strong to so many of us tonight. And as we prepare to maybe take a fresh look, Pastor Mark, at some of the unfinished business that we have, is there a word of encouragement you can give to somebody? I know somebody might be wanting to shut the radio off right now because they're thinking, there's no way I'm going back the way I came. What would you say to somebody dealing with that?
Yeah, there's probably some that are saying, yeah, let's turn the stations right now. But, you know, it's not about lingering in the past. It's about being able to get away, move beyond the past. Mm. And so sometimes we have to go back. I had a friend that stopped at a gas station and forgot one of their children in the gas station. And, you know, they could have kept going, but 10 minutes away, they realized we need to go back before we can go forward. Yeah. And so I believe it's the same way in our lives. Sometimes we need to go back, finish the issue, forgive that person, obey in that area, deal with that issue so that we can go into the new season that God is calling
Amen.
Us towards.
And that's the focus, isn't it?
That's the focus.
Well, friends, as you listen tonight, be encouraged. There is another place. There is a new season God wants to take you. Let's get our hearts ready for the word.
Today, I want to talk to you about unfinished business. All of us here have some unfinished business in our life. My first really exposure to the dangers of unfinished business happened years ago when I first started pastoring this church. It was my very first wedding. I was a little nervous because I had never done a wedding before. And I wasn't sure exactly if I would do it right or not. And so I had started working with a couple. And they did not have a church background. They were living together and had a six-year-old kid. And as I began to explain the Bible to them and have Bible studies together with them, the man of the house, he said, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I never was, but I want to give my life to Christ. And so I prayed with him to come to Christ. And his girlfriend also prayed to come to Christ. And so after they came to Christ, I said, well, you really need to start thinking about what it means to be married. Because you're living together, you have a baby. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, you want to do this the right way. And marriage is part of God's plan. And the guy was kind of like, I've thought about it, but it's a big commitment. Not sure I want to do it yet. I'm just kind of struggling with it. And I said, oh, and by the way, if you're not married, it means you're going to have to couch it. And you can't have sex until you're married, really, if you're going to follow Jesus. He said, now, how quickly can we do that wedding now? Know how to motivate these men. And so I said, we got to do a little premarital counseling, get you ready for your wedding, and so forth. So I did some premarital counseling. They were ready for their wedding. They sent out the invitations. It was going to be a small ceremony. And about a week before the wedding or less, the bride-to-be came to talk to me, and she said, Pastor, can I talk to you? I have something I want to confess to you. I said, sure, let's talk. And she she met and she said, I'm not really proud of this. I'm a little bit embarrassed about this. But about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, me and my boyfriend, my fiance now, we were having problems. He was drinking. We separated for a brief amount of time. And I was really hard up for cash. And there was a guy in the neighborhood that was trying to become, well, he was trying to become a citizen of this country. He was undocumented. And he offered me $5,000 to marry him. And then, so I did. And I'm not proud of it, but I did. I've never seen him since then. We didn't consummate the marriage. We weren't a couple. It was just a legal, formality for him to be able to become a citizen. But is that a problem? And I said, well, in the state of Illinois, polygamy is illegal. And so I cannot legally marry you if you're technically married to someone else. So we had to call everybody that was supposed to attend the wedding and say it, because of technical difficulties, we have to postpone this wedding. And I didn't know this, but I guess in the state of Illinois, if you're going to get a divorce and you don't know where that person is, you have to actually advertise it in the newspaper and say, I am divorcing you. I'm not really sure where you're at, but if you're in this place, you need to contact me. And so she had to advertise it in the newspaper. And then, of course, she had to tell her fiance what had happened. And we had to postpone the wedding at least 3 months. Poor guy had to sleep on the couch for another 3 months. 3 months until they were able to figure things out because she had unfinished business. And her unfinished business, when she was ready to move into another season of life, when she was ready to pursue her dream, her unfinished business kept her from being able to pursue the dream when she wanted to pursue the dream. And I realized as a young pastor, wow, unfinished business is a big deal. I believe that all of us here have unfinished business in one way or another. Maybe you started a project in the basement of your house. You're halfway through and you ran out of money or time and it's still unfinished. Maybe you started a college degree and you're all excited about it. And then you got busy with life and work. And so it's halfway completed, but not quite completed. And it's sitting there. It's unfinished business. Maybe there's a person you started talking to that you had to have an important conversation with and it was interrupted, but you know you didn't get to the heart of the matter of what you wanted to talk to them about, and so you have unfinished business. Maybe you started to write a letter to your mother to tell her how important she is to you and what an impact she had in your life, and you have it in your drawer beside your bed and it's only halfway completed, but well, you ran out of time, you got interrupted, and it's unfinished business. Maybe you had a confession that you needed to share with your spouse or a family member, and it's been eating away at you, and you wanted to tell them about it, and you started and you hinted, but you never quite got around to that conversation because, well, you have, what do you have? Unfinished business. Maybe you started a diet. You got the book, you got the plan, you got the planner, you got the meals. And that's all you got. And you never quite started it because you have unfinished business. The reason that we have unfinished business is that we get stuck at a pain point. We get so far down the road, and then there's a place of pain that causes us to stop what we were doing. If it were easy, you would have done it already. If it required little effort, you would have completed it. If it weren't that hard, you wouldn't have unfinished business. Most of us have unfinished business because we reached a pain point and backed away from the pain point so that we did not complete that which we started out to complete. It's unfinished business. Here's the thing about unfinished business I've discovered. That if you have enough unfinished business that you drag behind you, if you have enough things that you haven't dealt with, enough things that you haven't quite handled, then that starts to weigh you down. And after a while, your unfinished business slows you down and brings you to a stop because you're carrying too much weight, too much luggage that doesn't let you go forward. The prophet Elijah had to be confronted by God because he had unfinished business. And so I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're really going to be focusing on three verses, verses 15 through 18. If you have unfinished business, I'm going to give you three steps to help you deal with your unfinished business today. Elijah was in the cave. He was driven to the cave because he was running from his problems. He encountered some difficulty. He was doing really well. He encountered some difficulty. He got full of fear. He started running away from his problems as fast as he could. He went through the valley of depression, discouragement, actually ended up suicidal at one point of time. He crawls into a cave, and there in a cave, he has an encounter with God. God speaks to him about why he's in the situation, and God says, "Why are you here? What are you doing here, Elijah?" And after he asks Elijah about what he's doing here, has this manifestation of his presence, calls him out of the cave so he hears the sound of God, and then God speaks clearly and powerfully to Elijah, and this is what he tells him in verse 15. "And the Lord said to him, 'Go back,'" oh, here it goes, "'go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there," and then he gives him some steps that he needs to take when he gets there. These are very short phrases, but they have powerful implications for anybody that's going to deal with unfinished business. Go back the way you came, and then go to the hard places, Damascus, and then when you get there, you have to do something. Three steps. I want you to track with me because they're really, really important. Number one, jot it down. If you're going to deal with unfinished business, you deal with unfinished business by returning to the issues you have been avoiding and running from. If you're going to deal with those, God said to Elijah, "Go back the way you came." Most of us, if we're in the cave, we don't want to go back the way we came. We want to go out of the cave a different way. We want to look for the back entrance to the cave. We don't want to run back to our problems. We want to run away from our problems. We don't want to go to the places of pain and difficulty. We want to get away from the places of pain or difficulty.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled "Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business." It's part 5 in our series called Unstuck. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 21. His message, "Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business."
God says, "Go back." Where was he going back to? Well, he was going back to the woman that wanted to kill him, the queen that had threatened to take his life. He was running from a place that was dangerous, a place of failure, a place of pain, a place that he wanted to forget about. And God says to him, "I want you to go back from the place that you're running from." You know, what I've discovered is that we all have issue avoidance when we're running. Issue avoidance problems. In fact, I think that we have a national pastime in this country, that if it's difficult, if it's painful, if it's demanding, we try to avoid it. Countless couples, married couples, that know they have issues, they avoid dealing with the hard issues, they avoid going to the hard places, and if they avoid it long enough, they end up in divorce court because they're avoiding the hard issues until it becomes a crisis. This country as a whole tends to avoid the whole conversation about debt. We have a government that's trillions of dollars in debt, and we try to avoid the issue as much as possible or hand it on to the next elected official. But in our lives, we do the same thing. So many people have credit cards, and some of you here don't even want to add up how much debt you're in because you want to avoid it. I don't even think about it. I want to think about how much debt I'm in. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to calculate it until one day you realize I can't pay off the credit cards. And now bankruptcy starts knocking at your door. They're advising you, hey, and you say, how did it get so bad? Well, because you avoided it as long as you could until it became a crisis in your life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Or maybe you have health issues. You've gone to the doctor on numerous occasions and the doctor says you have to exercise, you have to sleep, and you have to lose weight. You have to exercise, sleep, and lose weight. And you say, I know, but you avoid, you postpone, you push it back. You try to deceive yourself into thinking that that chocolate silk cake, well, it has eggs and it has dark chocolate that's supposed to be healthy and it has milk in it. So you think it's health food. You try to tell yourself it's health food. And you avoid it until the doctor says, hey, you need a triple bypass. It comes to a crisis point. You've avoided until it becomes a crisis point because that's issue avoidance. Elijah was told by God, go back the way you came. You can't avoid it. Stop running from it. How many of you know that sometimes we have to go back before we go forward? I know you don't want to go back. I know sometimes you say, I just want to forget about it. The past is the past. I don't want to deal with anything in the past. But sometimes in order to go forward, you have to go back and fix things so you can go forward. I have some friends. I'm not going to tell you their names. They will remain anonymous. But they were a family and they were traveling one day, all a family together, about five or six of them in the family. And they got to a gas station and they were in a hurry and all the kids got out, went to the bathroom, bought some candy. They poured gas in the car. They got back in the car and they took off. And they were probably about 10 or 15 minutes away by the time one of the kids asked where the youngest daughter was, who was about 7 or 8 years old. They said, where's, and they mentioned her name. They said, well, look in the back seat. She wasn't there. The wife said to the husband, I thought you had her. He said, I thought you had her. The kid said, we don't know where she's at. And they realized we left our daughter at the gas station. So they had to turn around in a panic, make a U-turn, hurry back there. They got to the gas station. Thankfully, she was just sitting there talking to the gas station attendants over candy, and she was fine. But here's the thing. They couldn't just continue on their trip. Before they could continue on their trip, they had to go back for an important unresolved issue. They had to get their daughter, and then they could go forward on their trip. But they had unfinished business. If they would have gone forward on their trip, it would have been a tragic thing because that unfinished business would have come to bite them back. They had to go back in order to go forward. Unfinished business is like that. It causes us to go back to the hard places, to deal with our issues, release our luggage so that finally we can go forward. And that's exactly what God said to Elijah. Go back the way you came. I was reading this passage and I was thinking for a moment that one of the greatest stories in the Bible, one of the most difficult stories in the Bible that illustrates this point is the story of Moses. Moses was this man that was called of God. You remember his story. He was born out of a slave woman who was a Jewish woman, but he was rescued by the daughter of a king and raised in a palace. He knew that he was called to liberate the people of Israel at a young age, but he went about it the wrong way. He killed an Egyptian, got chased out of Egypt, ended up in the desert, met a woman, married her, became a shepherd, had two boys, gave up on his dream. Now he was just a shepherd, had no visions of grandeur or liberator. He had long left that behind him. And then he had a burning bush experience in which God called him from a burning bush to go back and set the people of Israel free. By the way, parenthetically, let me say that sometimes when you think you're called, you're too full of too full of pride and self and egotism to be used of God. And sometimes God has to take you to the desert of brokenness and humility and strip away some of those things before he calls you again. Some of you have thought that this stage of your life that God was pretty much done with you, but really God is only starting with you, because finally you're broken enough to know you need God. Finally, he stripped you down to a place where you feel weak. Finally, God says, now I can start using you. When you think you're at your worst and weakest, God says, finally, you're at a place where I can start using you. I've never read in Scripture that God chooses the strong and the arrogant and the wise and the talented and those that can. When I read in Scripture, he chooses the weak and the humble and those that have been broken down and those that really depend on him to confound the wise and the mighty and the strong. And so, yeah, that's the way that God works all of the time. So God found this man, Moses, had a burning bush experience and said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to set the people free now that you don't want to go. And now that you don't think you have the power or ability to do so. And so Moses gets his two sons and his wife, whose name is Zipporah, and they make their way back to Egypt to fulfill a dream that Moses had when he was a young man. And the Bible tells us, in this very peculiar, strange passage of Scripture found in Exodus chapter 4, it's one of the strangest passages of Scripture because it almost looks like it's a story out of Psycho. It takes place at a motel, a cheap motel. If you take a snapshot shot of this picture, it's a motel room. There's a man laying on the bed dying. There's a woman with a sharp rock in her hand, blood dripping down the sharp rock. A piece of skin on the ground, a puddle of blood. A boy in a cradled position crying, and a woman with a crazed look on her face. That's this verse. Does it remind you of Psycho a little bit? So what's happening in this passage? Well, it tells us in Exodus chapter 4, verse 24... At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it. You say, hold on a second. I thought Moses said yes to God at the burning bush and was about to pursue his call. Why would God want to kill him if he was on his way to fulfill his call? Good question. Glad you asked. So here's the thing. Moses had a big problem. His big problem was two words. We've been talking about it. You know what it is? Half of you got it. What is it? Moses' problem is he had unfinished business. You see, the Bible tells us that God had told all the Jewish men that a sign of the covenant was that they were to circumcise their boys on the eighth day after they were born. Now, circumcision is a process in which they cut the foreskin off of the son's private parts, and it's a sign of covenant relationship. Now, they do it when they're babies, so they don't remember it when they're older, but every Jewish man would be circumcised, and it was a sign of being a part of the covenant. And if you weren't circumcised, it meant that you weren't a part of the covenant, because every Jewish boy would do that. Every father would do that. Moses, for some reason, had not circumcised his boys. Maybe because his wife was not Jewish, and she looked at it and thought it was a barbaric practice. Maybe because he was raised in the palace of a king and they didn't do it there. But for whatever reasons, he knew that he was supposed to circumcise his boys, but he hadn't done it. To be a part of the in-group, to be a member of the Jewish clan, you circumcise your boy. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that to you to become a member of this church? We'd have a lot smaller membership if that were true. It wasn't a problem until Moses decided to pursue the call of God on his life.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. And this is his Straight Talk series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. Tonight was the first half of his message called Walk Towards Your Unfinished Business. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.